The Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded. Chapter 15. Matt Hooper's Folly. The Persecutrons were enormous. The Persecutrons were metallic. The Persecutrons were fake? The second they stepped into the stadium, Christian realized they were fake. He'd seen real Persecutrons in action. These were not them. These Persecutrons fired enormous, terrifying lasers from their eyes that, while looking frightening, did almost no damage to even an unarmored target. But the Pilgrims didn't seem to understand that. One beam cut across Christian and left only a single singe on his armor. Yet the Pilgrims screamed and fled from the automatons anyway, as if they had just mutilated Christian. More Persecutrons poured into the stadium. Two of them combined their lasers and shot Zealot in the chest. Zealot looked down at his chest, then up at the robots.
"Are they attempting to damage me?"
He looked more confused than injured. He raised his rocket pistol and aimed at the Persecutrons. Then he lowered it.
"It seems a waste of missiles."
"Zealot, your pistol has infinite missiles," Truth said.
"And yet, it still seems like a waste."
A Persecutron walked up and looked down over them like an ancient titan.
"You are dumb."
Then it fired into Truth. The laser didn't even singe her skin. Behind them, the stadium had lost control. Thousands swarmed for the exits, and Fearmonger yelled over the speakers to evacuate to the fallout shelters. "I don't understand," Christian said. "These things are a little more than an inconvenience."
"I'm afraid it's worse than you think," a voice said.
Truth, Zealot, Christian, Love, and a few of the Calvinists and Arminians turned around towards the voice. It was the interpreter. Truth waved in greeting. "What do you mean?" Christian said. "These things are harmless."
"Exactly," interpreter said with a grim smile. "That's what makes them so dangerous."
Pilgrims continued to scream. Christian and the others just stood around. The interpreter leaned against a Persecutron as if it were a water cooler.
"You see, long ago the Darklands used to send large and destructive Persecutrons that slaughtered many a poor pilgrim. They are still used a couple of places far away, but here, Polyon learned that he didn't need the effort. The Persecutrons were rallying the Pilgrims to fight harder against Apollyon's forces and showed their lost that their allies were not moral. Apollyon then developed these fake Persecutrons because he knew that was enough to scare the Pilgrims into apathy and avoidance of the Dark Lands. If anyone acted out against the Persecutrons, the Dark Lands would see it as an overreaction to a mostly harmless force and damage the reputation of the Pilgrims.
"Then how are we to defeat such an enemy?" Zealot said. "They keep coming. There are far too many to eliminate all on our own, though I could certainly try."
He glanced at his pistol.
"Another symptom of their design, I'm afraid," the interpreter said. "Being cheap and mostly harmless, they're easily mass-produced and sent against any pilgrim. They usually focus on those who dare step outside the boundaries of Palace Beautiful, or those who want to." He paused and sent a knowing smile at Christian. "Within these walls, we are of limited threat to the Darklands. They occasionally burst in here like this, leaving everything in chaos for a few weeks."
"Then what do we do?" Christian said.
"It's very complicated, so pay attention."
The interpreter turned toward one of the holes that the Persecutrons had made in the stadium.
"We do nothing."
Everyone stared at the interpreter. Zealot's mouth dropped open.
"We do what?"
"Of course," Christian nodded in understanding. "These things are just a distraction."
"But they're so large and shootable!"
Zealot gave a look of shocked dejection.
"How can the solution to their presence not be violence-related?"
"They're just trying to bait out violence from us, don't you see?" Christian said. A Persecutron walked up to Truth and stared down at her.
Religion is anti-science."
Truth's face slowly took on a cartoonish look of horror and rage. "You mother knower!" Truth leapt at the Persecutron and spun, landing a perfect roundhouse kick into the machine's torso. The Persecutron exploded into tiny pieces. A dozen others turned towards Truth, raised a hand, and started shouting,
"Hey,
They trundled up to her and kept pointing and shouting, "Hey, hey, hey." Truth gave a yelp and backed away from the approaching automata. The interpreter put his hand on Truth's shoulder.
"What did you just learn from fighting dogmatism? That we must disagree with love."
"What?" Love looked worried.
"No, no. I mean, when we disagree, we must do so with love."
"Why do you have to disagree with me?" Love pouted. "Am I disagreeable?"
"You aren't. Maybe I should use a different word. We must disagree in love."
Love's pout turned to disgust. "Ew!" Behind them, the Persecutrons continued their rampage.
"Should we, worry about that?"
Zealot motioned towards the chaos. Love and Interpreter looked at it, then back at Zealot.
"No, just muscle through it,"
the Interpreter said.
"Ah, that I can understand,"
Zealot smiled.
"So, about this people disagreeing in love thing," Love said. "Do I need to be cut open? And what about someone bigger than me, like Zealot? How is he supposed to—"
Truth scoffed.
"Love, as objectively comedic as this exchange is, you know what the Interpreter means. But I don't see why I have to be kind to a bunch of robots from the Darklands. They aren't like fellow pilgrims, and what's more, they're wrong."
"Of course they're wrong," the Interpreter said with a smile. "But you have to ask yourself, are you going to confront them because you think you can persuade them to a correct way of thinking? Or is it because you want to feel better about yourself by arguing with someone wrong?"
"There's a difference,"
Truth said with genuine confusion in her voice.
"Yes!"
Love's tone held a twinge of shock. "Besides," Christian said, "how exactly does one persuade a robot?" Zealot looked thoughtful.
"By shooting it?"
"Oh, you can try that,"
the Interpreter gave a fatherly laugh. Zealot shot one of the Persecutrons. It exploded. Zealot looked at the wreckage.
"Fascinating. It did not work. But it was fun,"
Zealot aimed at another robot. "Cool it, Mr. Missile," Christian said.
"Oh, very well."
Zealot holstered his pistol.
"But only out of appreciation for that nickname. I still fail to understand. When persecutors are embarrassed and attacked for their wrongful acts, they are more prone to changing their ways. Right?"
Zealot looked to Love. Love looked to Truth. Truth looked frustrated.
Not quite."
"Then what do we do?" Christian looked at the chaos. No one seemed to be getting hurt, but they were all quite terrorized. "Ignore the world entirely until atomic annihilation?"
"Certainly not," Zealot cried. "It is far better to face these malicious machinations than do nothing."
"No, stop,"
the Interpreter put a hand on Zealot's shoulder.
"It is not our duty to fight persecution. If these automatons were a large threat, we might have to avoid or confront them. But this is not a worthy distraction from our true goal."
"Hold on," Zealot said. "What was our true goal again?"
The Interpreter walked towards the hole the Persecutrons had come through. Multiple Persecutrons faced him and fired their lasers into his flesh, again with no effect. He turned and shouted over his shoulder.
"Have you forgotten those who are still under the threat of total atomic annihilation? There are greater fights beyond these walls. This place is good, but it is only a rest stop for the true fight."
He walked through the hole in the wall.
"Of course," Christian said. "The Lost. Why do I keep forgetting?"
"Because remembering is hard,"
Zealot said.
"Because we're being selfish,"
Love said.
"Because the underlying temporal non-specificity of this allegorical plane makes ongoing action difficult to portray due to the chronological nature of the portrayed events?"
Truth said. Everyone stared at Truth. Truth looked shy.
"What?"
The Persecutrons continued their rampage. Christian and the others stood there, waiting. Zealot broke the silence.
"Well, I'm bored. Let's follow the Interpreter. Didn't he mention something about a greater fight than this? Wondrous! These artificial hoodlums are poor opponents anyway."
He strode up to the hole, paused, then shot another Persecutron, chuckled to himself, and disappeared into the hole. Truth stepped forward next.
"Very well. Shall we follow?"
Christian looked back at the other pilgrims on the field.
"Who is with us?"
A few of the Calvinists, Arminians, and one or two others looked about, then shouted their approval. Christian tossed his laser Tommy gun to one of them. and marched towards the exit. And forward we go, into the Darklands. Persecutron stepped into his path. Christian swallowed and approached the machines. He didn't want to say anything, but the beings terrified him. He had seen what real Persecutrons could do to pilgrims, but these were fake, so he had little to fear. Right? He started towards the hole where the interpreter exited. The Persecutrons focused their lasers on him.
You are a puritanical theocrat, one of the Persecutrons said. You wish to impose your will on others, said another. Happy holidays, said a third. You believe in the overseer. That means you must hate the gaze.
Oh no, Truth said with an eye roll. How are we to stand against such irrefutable logic?
Christian kept walking. This wasn't so bad. He had faced mutant demons, killer robot swarms, and eldritch abominations from beyond his worst nightmares. By the grace of the Overseer, he had made it through. This was nothing compared to that. He pushed through the Persecutrons with little effort and stepped out of the stadium into the blasted wastes of the Darklands.
Through here, he said. We can make it. It's easy.
Not everyone made it through. Truth and Love did, but only some of the Calvinists and Arminians who had said they would follow appeared on the other side. Now past the breach, Christian peered at the horizon. The dark land stretched before him like an animal's skin on a tanner's bench, dry, bleached, and dead. These festering, irradiated lands looked no different from those he and his friends had fought through before. Yet now, with his new suit of armor from the Overseer, and with his burden removed, the land somehow looked hungry for his flesh. A fear crept into Christian's heart. Before, he had been one of the lost, walking through those dark lands. He was at home in that infinite blackness, but now the lands were not his home. They were his enemy. He thought of those he had slaughtered, those who likely just wanted to help him, to warn him of the impending threat of total atomic annihilation. Would he meet the same fate? That seemed poetically just, to die in the manner that he had killed so many. Christian stepped towards the dark lands, rifle in hand, friends at his side, and Palace Beautiful behind him. Let others cower in the safety of their homes. Even if death faced him in the dark lands, he would do for the lost what Evangelist had done for him. I'm scared, Christian said.
Irrelevant! Zealot strode ahead of him. Shall we let something as immaterial as fear keep us from saving those under threat of total atomic annihilation? No! That was a rhetorical question.
But I could make things worse. There is so much hatred towards pilgrims, sometimes for good reason. Just look at what went on at Palace Beautiful. Love took his hand. Christian looked into Love's eyes. She sparkled with compassion, literally. The colors of her magical girl clothes became more vibrant, as if she had turned into a beautiful animation.
Keep close to me, Love said, and their hatred will seem as foolishness to them.
Christian turned to Truth. I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing when talking to the lost, that I will lead people astray.
Good, you should be, Truth said.
Christian blinked. What? Did we not just have a big battle involving a guy trying to spread fear? Isn't fear bad?
It's more complicated than that,
Truth tilted her head as if pondering something.
You should be afraid of leading people astray. You've got to study, listen to what book says, and constantly radio the Overseer. Though, always check his transmissions with what book says. Sometimes the enemy will send us transmissions as if they're from the Overseer.
This isn't reassuring, Christian said.
If you wanted reassurance, you should have kept talking with Love. What is real and false is incredibly important, Christian. Distinguishing lies from reality is difficult. It requires study and hard work. There isn't a shortcut or trick that will make that easier or any less time-consuming. You must be vigilant in your—
Don't overestimate your power to stand against the Overseer,
Zealot interrupted.
Hey,
Truth said. Let me finish.
In a minute, Zealot said. You will most likely lead people astray. You will say things that are false, despite your efforts to speak otherwise. But if you do, then the lost will still be no worse off than when it comes to eternity. So do not let fear of failure keep you from engaging the lost.
Don't use that as an excuse not to study, Truth said.
Yes, yes,
Zealot gave a dismissive wave of his hand, which almost knocked Truth over.
I'm simply trying to keep you from scaring yourself into a life of apathetic study like those Calvinists and Arminians over there.
Zealot pointed at the crowd of fellow pilgrims who followed behind Christian.
Hey,
an Arminian said.
We're here, aren't we?
The point is, Truth said, don't say what is wrong. But also, don't worry, Love said. We're under grace. The Overseer has forgiven your past as well as your future sins. Which is really cosmically fascinating when you think about it, Truth interrupted. Regardless, Love continued, while you should avoid sinning, you should also not be surprised when you mess up. You will mess up, Christian. After all, being a pilgrim is not about being perfect, though you should try to anyway. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need the Overseer. He oversees us, comes alongside us, and helps us to face the infinite terrors and pains of venturing through, she paused for dramatic effect, the dark lands.
What will happen to our heroes next? Will people complain that there wasn't an ad this week? Will people complain that I didn't give our man the Armenian Arminian an actual Armenian accent? Find out next time on Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded.
The Pilgrim's Progress Reloaded was written by David Umstadt. Audio editing by William Umstadt. Audio recording by a living chair which has the ability to juggle both Norwegians and Micronesians.